We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday rolling along. We'll get to more of your calls, too. In fact, you can get in right now and talk to Sal, 803-0550. He was on the sidelines yesterday and is joining us right now. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We are going to... by the way, is Arrow up? Almost exclusively Arrow up. Like I think there was one arrow down. It's available at WGR550.com. Happy Football Monday, Mr. Capaccio. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, guys. There were actually two of them.
Two arrow down.
Do you remember the others? Do you remember both? Two arrows down.
Jeez, I read the column, too.
Yeah, you didn't even read it.
I read it. I promise.
Fake offside snap play.
What was the arrow down?
That didn't work.
I can't remember.
No, it's actually the only two I gave were
Bass
Josh
missed a
Allen's
field goal?
Completion percentage specifically. No, because, you know, I didn't... I didn't want to give Josh one, but I gave his percentage, his completion percentage, you know, just over 50% one. Yeah. And then the fumble by Zach Moss. That deserved one as well.
Hey, Bass missed a field goal. Don't let him off the hook. The Allen play. Let me start there.
As long as okay.
Yeah, I know. Let me start with Josh because I think that's an interesting talking point this morning. And actually, we will do our eye on the quarterback with Sal, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And I like the way you wrote it in your article. He didn't have a bad game, but something's still off. The accuracy, the timing, you know, there are passes that seem to need more zip, but they're being lofted. Something still seems off with Allen and the passing game.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I'm listening to some callers and you guys this morning, and, you know, I don't know. I think we're all trying to figure it out, and it seems like a lot of people are going more towards the physical side. I might go more towards the what defenses are doing. Are they switching things up? And he's maybe trying to work through this right now. I think the first week, that's a game in itself, right? Because we saw what the Steelers did. They were a little bit different. They didn't have the same game plan that they normally do against the Bills. You know, the Dolphins, I got to go look, you know, what they were doing, but maybe they mix some stuff up. They're trying to do some different things. They know that teams are going to play them a certain way. So, you know, Brian Daboll's got to put a few wrinkles into his offense. Maybe he's not. To me, he didn't see a few things yesterday. That's what the issue was for me. There were a couple balls that were floated. I agree. I mean, look, he missed Devin Singletary on that hole shot. That's not an easy pass to Devin Singletary. And no offense, it's just he's a shorter guy. If that's Emmanuel Sanders, that's a catch, you know, and he's running. And I get it. He's got to hit it because, you know, that's a spot and he's an open receiver. But it's not physical to me right now. I mean, that play he made near the goal line to Stephon Diggs, got that was like 20 feet in front of me. That's an MVP caliber play that he made. That was incredible. He still makes these kinds of plays. He still threw that ball to Stephon Diggs and gave him a chance. I wonder if he's just not trusting some of the things he's seeing right now.
Why would that be, do you think? Because of what defenses are... In his defense, if you will, you can certainly make the case that, you know, in the first game they played one of the best, if not the best, defensive front they'll see all season long. And in the second game, they played one of the best secondaries they're going to see. So maybe it's just that.
Right.
But why would you think he might not be trusting what he's seeing right now? More about the opponent, what they're doing?
I think so, but also, again, I think, and I'd have to go and look and see if the Bills are putting in or I mean what the teams are actually doing to them.
Yeah.
But I would think there'd be some mixing up of personnel. There'd be some mixing up of coverages. You know, last year the Bills just went out there and they just beat everybody man to man. And, you know, when they played zone defense, Cole Beasley was there and everything just kind of went seamlessly. Well, we had a whole offseason for defensive coordinators to look at that, right? So you come out in the first 2 weeks and what did the Steelers do? Something completely different than they normally have done. They were prepared for that. They had probably been preparing that since May when the schedule came out. And then Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins, they have very good corners on the outside. We know that. Yep. You know, did they do the same things? I don't know. Did they mix up some of the stuff that they normally do? And then I think because of that, the Bills have to be a little bit more aware and buttoned up and think, okay, teams have done this to us. Now they're going to do this to us. But I also think the Bills are going to have to throw some new wrinkles. For example, so I'm just looking at the snap counts, right? Now, I don't know this. I'm going to go back and look at this in a second. You guys want to guess how much Dawson Knox was on the field?
Oh, they,
like how many percentage of
they
plays?
They would have been in mostly 11 personnel. So I would say at least 2/3 of the plays.
Yeah, he was on the field 83% of the snaps, 54 out of 65.
Yeah.
That is a really heavy usage of Dawson Knox, which is not something that they normally do, right? I think they're trying to counter right now what teams have done to them, and rightfully so. And I think there's got to be some sort of adjustment period as you go through that as well. You know what I mean?
Before we get to calls, we got lines open if you want to get in now, 803-0550. We did get a caller in the first hour, specifically asking for Ken Dorsey's role as passing game coordinator. And I honestly said I wasn't sure, so I figured I'd check with you. What does that passing game coordinator responsibility mean?
So, guys, you're not going to love my answer because I don't exactly know all the details of it because I did ask. I have asked.
Yeah.
When it first happened, and they announced it, or they didn't announce it. It actually just showed up, and I was the one that I kind of put it out there and said, hey, look, you know, the Bills gave Ken Dorsey a promotion. I checked in. It was confirmed, obviously, but it was put out there. So we go, and the first time we see Brian Daboll at training camp, I said, what exactly does that role entail? There was no specifics given. I asked Sean McDermott, and there were no specifics given.
Right.
You know, so to my best guess and my knowledge of how it would work operationally, he is very much, I'm sure, responsible for the in-game planning of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to me he's calling plays that are just the pass plays. You know what I mean? That's not happening. It can't be. You'd have to have – that would be a really weird kind of dynamic. Now, look, the Dolphins do have two offensive coordinators, mm-hmm. so maybe, I guess, that's always kind of weird. But Brian Daboll is the play caller. He's calling the plays. Now, maybe he relies on Ken Dorsey to tell him some things during game that they're doing because he's the one that's looked and scouted and looked all through that particular aspect. And, hey, on 3rd and 6, what are their tendencies? That's really more where I would see his role coming in. And, again, I'm just really giving an educated guess here because I've asked, and there has been no kind of specific answer to what his exact role is in that position.
803-0550 to join us. Bills Football Monday. Sal with us right now. Louie in Las Vegas. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. What happened to Gabriel Davis? I was looking all over for him. There's nowhere to be found. He's one of our biggest assets, and he wasn't played at all.
Agreed. I asked the same thing.
That's the guy that comes off the field for Dawson Knox and their personnel. I mean, you're not going to take Diggs off the field.
That's right.
You're not going to take Beasley off the field. And Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, I think Emmanuel Sanders has been pretty good for this mm-hmm. team. Granted, he might have wanted one drop back against Pittsburgh, but he was good again. So this is where you would say, Sal, it's a numbers game, right? If you're going to have Knox on the field, you're going to have Davis off the field.
100%, Jeremy. That's right. But as soon as the game was over, I saw the guys walking out, and Gabriel Davis walked by me, and I thought to myself, I don't think he caught a pass today. Well, guess what? He wasn't even targeted for a pass. So that's exactly right. So let's look at his snap counts. Gabriel Davis, sorry, guys, 21 snaps, which is 32%. The other wide receivers, definitely lower than they were last week. They were all over 90%. But this week, Diggs 78%, Sanders 77%, Beasley 60%. That's because they put Dawson Knox on the field, which is less room to have another receiver, which is Gabriel Davis. So, again, you said it, Jeremy. It's a numbers game. You can't put everybody out there. They clearly did not. I think last week, because they rolled out the same kind of offense they did in 2020 and just spread the field from sideline to sideline and went empty and went everybody wide and all that, and the Steelers, what they did kind of really countered that. I think they kind of went back to the drawing board, so to speak, and say, we can't do this every week again because teams are countering that now. And that was the effect of it yesterday. And Gabriel Davis seems to be, I would say, like the odd man out in that sort of situation.
Sal, one of the stories of camp was Devin Singletary and how good he looked through the preseason. And a lot was made about his offseason, his training regimen, and he seemed to be quicker, maybe more decisive, a little bit more explosive. He's looked very good in the first two games. You talk a little bit, I guess, about that touchdown run because he got through that hole and nobody was able to catch him.
That's right, and I think people are seeing now what, you know, we saw at training camp a little bit, which was some of that explosiveness through the hole. It does seem like he is more explosive through the hole. He does not have top-end speed. He got caught right at the goal line, right, in that touchdown run. But, you know, he's not a guy that's going to run away from you. But, man, he can get through the hole, and once he gets to the second level, he has great moves that he can make in the open field and in space. We saw a lot of that in that long drive last week against the Steelers. What a great way for the Bills to start their game, though. What a great way. What a great run that was. It was a great play call. He was hardly touched, guys. I don't think he was touched at all. But, yeah, I mean, Gabriel Davis has looked good. And I put him in my arrow up, arrow down column because I don't think people realize, but he's like fifth or sixth in the NFL in like rushing yards right now, and or at least in yards per carry, I think it is. Over six yards a carry. He's had a nice couple of games here, even though he hasn't had a lot of volume, right? Where is he right now? Let me look. I have his – okay. 24 carries for 154 yards. 154 yards is nice. So two games in the NFL to start. And that's not with feeding him a lot.
With Moss, I'm curious. The three of us were talking about our reaction in our respective homes on the second touchdown run when there's the violent collision that knocks him back and then he goes forward. Did you hear a collective groan or some kind of vocal reaction inside the stadium? Because that was an unbelievable hit. And he just bounced right off.
Yes, I did. It was, people noticed. I mean, when Zach Moss was drafted, what did he say? I want to make defenders make business decisions. We didn't see that really as much last year. There were some hard runs, but he made some defenders make business decisions yesterday, right? I mean, he was punishing. Did you guys see the tweet he had after the game? I'm not sure if you did. He also talked about it in the post-game press conference. He had to bury his aunt on Saturday. Then he played. He had the fumble. And he was down a little bit, and he was taken out of the game. And I will tell you, he did not get in the game at all after the fumble for quite a while until later on. And then he had the really nice fourth quarter, and then he tweeted about how, you know, life's all about ups and downs, and it's, you know, how you handle everything. So I just found that to be interesting.
803-0550 to join us this morning. Let's see. We're going to Dennis in Williamsville. You're on with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, Sal. It's funny. I noticed in the first half, I thought one of the glaring points. Well, first of all, it's kind of hard to say much negative, right? And I don't want to be negative, but I just saw Tremaine Edmonds not looking good at all. He was out of position, late to react. He was the one negative point I thought on the whole defense. And then the second half, we didn't even see him at all. A.J. Klein was out there, it looked like, for every snap in the second half. So I didn't know if you had any insights into that.
I do, but I'll let Howard start here because we're going to tell you all about
the injury
this, right?
report.
Howard,
yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Capaccio. The injury report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Well done, sir.
Yeah, no problem. We want to get our sponsors in. Yes, the answer is... Tremaine Edmonds was cramping and he was getting an IV in the locker room and was, and they didn't put him in the second half. So to my knowledge, nothing about him not playing in the second half was play related and it wasn't injury related. It was, he was cramping. And if you want to call that an injury, but he was getting an IV at halftime. So he didn't come out, noticed it just like you did within the first series or so that AJ Klein was there. Then we were told it's because he had not even come out yet. He was standing on the sidelines with his helmet on and his full equipment. But the game at that point, there's no reason to put him in to risk any more cramping, right? I mean, same thing with Levi Wallace. I'm not sure if Levi Wallace ever went back in the game once he left. Dane Jackson came in. Levi was cramping as well. And Dane Jackson came into the game, and Dane Jackson played well. But at that point, you're up. They were cramping. There's no reason to put these guys back in the game. Now, as far as his play, as far as what the caller said, the first half for Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, I have to go look. Honestly, I'm not going to sound like Sean McDermott here. You got to go look at the film, but you know, it's hard for me. I'm not getting the replays right in there on the field. And I haven't gone back and watched, you know, all 22 yet. But 35-0, it's hard for me to single out one player who didn't play well on the defensive side. I'm not saying it's not true. Maybe he didn't play all that special. But I mean, if you're part of a defense that gives 0 points in an NFL football game, even through a half, I don't know. It's hard for me to say that you're not playing well, but sure, there could be some things there that you could look at.
The defense, where you get to more phone calls, what an amazing day, Sal. I don't know. I mean, they did. Right. I was writing down like a checklist: pass rush, sacks, run defense, red zone, fourth down, takeaways, third down. I mean, they were just, and I guess when you pitch a shutout, you wouldn't be surprised to say that across the board, the defense, they were dominant. I mean, it felt like they were getting a pressure on every single drop back. I know that wasn't the case, but it seemed that way.
Really liked yesterday. First of all, obviously the defensive performance overall, they got a shutout. That's really hard to do in the National Football League. Right? Great job by them. They allowed 216 total yards, less than 4 yards a play, which is obviously really good for any defense. And that's a really good number. But what I really liked was they mixed up things that they normally don't do. Mm-hmm. The Bills played some man-to-man. They played cover zero, guys. They don't play a lot of cover zero. That means zero free safeties. Guys are up. Do you know what they did? They basically just took away everything we said they needed to take away from Tua. And then the game plan really didn't change much when Jacoby Brissett was in the game. And when I say that, I mean just get up on these guys, take away his first read because you're on them man-to-man off the line of scrimmage, and then blitz and pressure, force him to go to his second read, and by then, boom, there's a man in your face. That's exactly what the game plan was, and it worked out exactly like we said it would if you took away his first read. And that's how they took away his first read. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Give man-to-man defense, get up there, take away that first read.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about some of the players on defense that made a play, Taron Johnson continues to make plays. Dane Jackson with a big
fourth down
stop. Yep. You know,
yes.
If there's a hallmark of a Sean McDermott defense, I know they've sunk a lot into their defensive line. They just always seem to find a way to get plays from other guys in the secondary that aren't the biggest household names, Trey White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer. You know, Taron Johnson has become a household name for Bills fans because of how often he makes a big play. And whether that's Dane Jackson, Levi Wallace, like they just they get production from those guys quite often. You know, I mean, against the better passing teams, it's tough to make stops. So anytime you have a day like you did yesterday, so I think, you know, you're spot on when you say a shutout. Shutouts in the NFL don't really happen that often anymore.
No. You know, the last time the Bills had a shutout was October 2nd of 2016. It was at the New England Patriots, and the starting quarterback was Jacoby Brissett, who was filling in for the suspended Tom Brady. So, you know, this is one of those times where I don't know whether to use the word ironic or coincidence, but you know what I mean? Either one of them, that happened there. It is hard. Jeremy, everybody really, you know, it's funny. I'm writing the column last night, arrow up, arrow down, and I want to put like every defender on there because they played so well, right? Yeah. I mean, Matt Milano
was flying around. Yeah,
Milano
he
just had a Milano game.
That's
Milano. I mean, he's just right. You're both right. I wrote down my notes. I'm like, things to bring up: Taron Johnson, the big fourth down hit, and Levi Wallace pick. And I wrote Milano. I just wrote he had a Milano game. I mean, he does whatever you need him to do, whether it's coverage, whether it's blitzing, whatever. The guy is just solid across the board.
It's funny. Like, that seems to always be the thing when talking about these linebackers, Sal, is you'll have someone call and say, I didn't really notice Edmonds because he doesn't have the flash plays as often as Milano tends to have them. But I think your point is right, though. I mean, without Edmonds there, does Milano still make all those flash plays? You know, the defense is a cohesive unit the way McDermott builds it. Probably frees up this guy versus that guy, which is why Starr being back has been so big.
He made a difference yesterday.
Yes, he
in
did.
His presence in the middle, yeah.
Well, here's something I was really thinking about. I'm glad we were talking about this because this is something I was thinking about last night while I'm watching that other game. I don't know, just had some time to think last night, right? And I said to Murph and Eric, I said, this coaching staff, Sean and Leslie specifically, they are so in tune with how to use their personnel. Mm-hmm. They really are. Like, they know exactly what strengths each guy bring and how it all works. And, man, when you get dialed in like that to each individual guy, and I'll give you an example, right? Like, A.J. Klein started slow last year. They changed some things up, how he came in. He started having to play, you know, differently. Same thing. A.J. Klein plays the whole second half yesterday. He was good. Matt Milano was really good. They actually kind of changed the way Milano played a little bit, I thought, yesterday when A.J. Klein was next to him versus Tremaine Edmonds, because now A.J. Klein's got to kind of go straight forward. He doesn't have that coverage ability, whereas Tremaine can kind of cover a little bit sideline to sideline. He's got that length. Now you had, in the first half, you had Milano, I think, making more plays in front of him. In the second half, that was more like A.J. Klein's kind of role, right? And then Milano was the guy that was really flying over the around the field sideline to sideline. Just what it felt like to me, and that's because they're so dialed in with how to use their personnel. And Craig Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, like these are young players. Greg Rousseau's in his second game. I think they already have a really good idea of what these guys do really well and when they should use them in certain situations and how to use them. And I just think it's a really finely tuned machine on that side of the ball right now.
For the Dolphins, I saw Ian Rappaport, there's rib cartilage damage for Tua. So they're going to do some more work figuring out tests. They're going to do tests to see if there's rib cartilage damage. You know, as we watch this division play out, kind of like a big picture look, the Jets we don't think will be any sort of noisemaker in the division with a rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson. Here's Miami. Now without Tua, if he's out and Brissett is in, you might think they improve with that because Tua has not been too impressive. But I almost wonder if you're a Dolphins fan, you went to that game. Sal, we talked about this in pregame. Dolphins fans were starting to buy in, like, all right, let's see what we've got with this team. And the Bills just gave them a vintage New England comes to Buffalo performance, right? Like, hey, maybe we got something this year. No, we've been completely and totally destroyed, and the season ends week two almost. Like, I don't know, how humbling.
In the first game against the team that destroyed you when they had nothing to play for, and you had a playoff spot on the line.
Right.
You answered that. This is the revenge game. It's 35.
This is the someone in Miami has to make a pledge. I'll never pick the Dolphins to beat a Josh Allen. Right? Like, it's just, it is ownership of that Dolphins team right now.
Yeah.
It is. Right? I mean, it's incredible. I had a friend of mine. I was texting last night. He's a big Dolphins fan. I didn't know if he went to the game. He lives down here. And I texted him last night. I said, hey, you at the game? He said, no, thank God I wasn't. And then his next text to me was, I'm just mad how the Bills ran it up. And I'm like, they didn't run it up. Like, it wasn't like they were throwing bombs. Now, they did have the one throw down the field up 28-0, but they're playing at that point. But that's what it seems like, I think, for a Dolphins fan, right? By the way, he wasn't that mad. He's like, no, he goes, my team just isn't that good. You know, you got to stop them. But that's the feeling you get, like, oh, my God, this team, they're just laying it on us no matter what we do. They did it last year in the season finale. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? And your point on Tua and Brissett, okay, a couple things on this. Number one, Ryan Fitzpatrick is their best quarterback they've had over the last, you know, 2 years, year in whatever games. He would give them the best chance to win. It's not Tua right now. And I would say, maybe you guys have said this, it was a tweet this last night. I thought this might have been a really, like, I didn't want to start like some hot machine or something. The game might have been a worse score for the Dolphins if Tua had stayed in and they didn't go to Jacoby Brissett.
Well, the Bills might have set like the sack record if it's if it's Tua instead of Brissett. Yeah, I mean, there are times.
And Jeremy, how much have we talked about? How much have we said about how tiny he is?
Yeah.
And the injuries. Look, I mean, he got destroyed by AJ Epenesa. I hope he's okay, right? I mean, AJ Epenesa is so much. He engulfed him. He's so much bigger than him. But this is the problem with, I think, a guy like Tua at his stature and size who's already had these injuries in his career.
We're going to wrap Sal here. With your equipment's cutting out on us a little bit, Sal. So have a safe trip home, and we'll see you this week.
We'll hear you at 10, right? Yeah.
Yes, guys. I'll be on at 10. Right. I'll fix it by then. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Sal.
No worries.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.